If you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Romans 5, verse 12 through 17. Romans 5, 12 through 17. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even more over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if though the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you today. Thank you, God, for your word. God, I just pray, Lord, right now you anoint your servant to speak your word. Lord God, speak to every heart here today in Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want to speak to you today, struggling finding peace in a messed up world. Struggling finding peace in a messed up world. Amen. You agree with that, folks? It is a messed up world. You see, this world can be a dark place many days. News reports of shootings, innocent lives being lost too soon, terrorist attacks, unrest and struggle. They are constant reminders that we live in uncertain times. Past hurts clinging tightly, our present reality filled with pressures. The future may seem to loom with fear. And folks, not everything in this world is good. Amen? Not everything in this world is happy. Not everything in this world is beautiful. In fact, real evil does exist in this world. Now, you can pick up any kind of newspaper, and if you start going through it, you're going to find in the international section terrorism and war and genocide. If you go through the national section, you're going to find political payoffs and lies and screams and scams and churches set on fire. If you go through a local section in the paper, you're going to find rapes and abuse and murders and arson. And if you go through the business section, you're going to find scandals and fraud and graft embezzlements. And if you go through the sports section, you're going to find drug use and illegal gambling and adultery. And if you go through the entertainment section, you're going to find too many scandals and sins to even mention. No rational person can deny that evil, real evil, exists in this world. Sin is the reason for evil in this world. How did the world get so messed up? Think about it today, folks. How did this world get so messed up? The reason is this. We have all sinned. And when we sin, it brings evil into the world. You see, sin is any attitude or action against God. Now, I want you to think about that. Hear me today. Listen to me. We think of sin as Christians. Whoa, they're going to a bar. Or we think of sin as they're drinking or smoking or having premarital sex. We think of that. But I'm telling you this morning. If you have an attitude against anything that God set in place, if you have an attitude against authority, you're a sinner. Sin is any attitude or action against God. That is sin. So where did sin start? It started with the very first couple, Adam and Eve, back in the Garden of Eden. And in fact, the Bible says sin came into the world because of what one man did, that's Adam, and with sin came death. There was no death, folks, prior to Adam's sin. It came into the world with sin. But sin just doesn't stop with Adam and Eve. We've all been culprits. And there is not a single person in all of the earth who is always good and never sins. Amen? Now, I've never met anybody who's claimed to be perfect. You can claim it all you want. It doesn't make it true. Amen? Anybody know anybody perfect? You see, if you were perfect, folks, you wouldn't even be here. Come on. Now, I don't measure up to my own standards, let alone the things that God asked of me. Let alone what a perfect God asked of me. I disappoint myself. I disappoint others. I don't live up to standards of perfection. But see, folks, sin is universal. It's a universal problem. The Bible says all have sinned. That includes me. That includes you. It includes everybody who ever lived. All. The Bible goes on to say there is no one righteous. Not even one. And there is not just man upon the earth that doth good and sinneth not. If we claim to have not sinned, what we do is we deceive ourselves, and the truth, the Bible says, is not in us. So if you say you've never sinned, you're just lying. Because the fact is all have sinned, had sinned, and all have had attitudes and actions against God. So how did the world get into this mess up? Get so messed up. How did it get so messed up? It got messed up with Adam. And then we've all followed in his example. Every time I sin, it damages something. Every time you sin, it damages something. Either you damage yourself. When I sin, it damages me, another person, or my relationship with God. It damages the world. It damages something else every time a person sins. That's why God doesn't want us to sin. He knows the ways that are best. And the reason the world is in a mess is because we've all sinned. The question then is what is the result? The result is this. We live in a fallen world. Folks, this is a broken planet. I'll say it again. This is a broken planet. Everything on this planet has been damaged, injured, spoiled, or corrupted in some way by the entry of evil into the world. A lot of people don't understand this, and they ask us all the time, why is this happening? Why is that happening? When they ask the question, it is because they don't have the right worldview. They don't understand that we live in a broken planet. We live in a fallen world. Folks, this is not heaven. Now, there are five dimensions of the damage that occurred when sin entered into the world. And I want to look at those today. Sin affects five areas. Number one, it affects the natural implications. There are physical implications. There are emotional implications. There are relational implications. And there are spiritual implications every time we blow it and sin. Now, I'm going to say that again, okay? We're going to look at five areas that sin affects. When we sin, there are natural implications. There are physical implications, there are emotional implications, there are relational implications, and there are spiritual implications. When? Every time we sin. Five implications for the sin in this world. First, there are natural disasters and deformities in the world because of sin. Nature doesn't always act in a rational way, does it? It often acts in an irrational way. When people ask, why are there hurricanes? Why are there droughts? Why are there earthquakes? Why are there tidal waves? Why are there natural disasters? The answer is very simple. The planet is broken. It's fallen. Now this is not a perfect place. In fact, in Romans 8, verse 20, it says, against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. All creation. Creation was condemned to lose its original purpose, to be in perfect harmony with man and perfect harmony with God. The world is not in that perfect harmony. You see, the elements are rough and can be very unkind, can't they? Creation doesn't always work the right way. Why? Because it's confused. How do animals get deformed sometimes? Why are babies sometimes born with major defects? It's because of sin. It's because we live on a broken planet. Second, there are physical decay and death in the world because we live in a fallen planet. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker. Can we say amen? One look at you and I can prove it. You don't have your youthful beauty anymore. Oh, look at all of you. You're all going, oh, don't. Our bodies are getting weaker because they're getting older. Isn't it something, though, how as soon as you're born, you start dying? Huh? There are no perfect bodies. Folks, you can't airbrush them into perfection. Right? There are no perfect bodies. A lot of us have furniture problem. You know that furniture disease? The chest drops into your drawers? Huh? It used to be up here. Not everything works right in your body because we're on a fallen planet, where everything doesn't always work right. If we were on a perfect planet, there would be no need for doctors. But we live in a fallen world. The bodies we have now embarrass us. Our bodies become sick and die. You see, in physics, they call this the law of entropy. The law of entropy states that everything in the universe is continuously and irreversibly decaying. Scientists have known this for years, and the universe is disappearing into disorder. In other words, this world is winding down. This world is decaying. This totally contradicts the theory of evolution, which says things are getting better, more complex, and improved. You see, evolution denies the second law of thermodynamics. Not only do we have decay, but we also have death in the world. The Bible says that everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man. And one of the reasons that we die is that God doesn't want us to hanging around on an imperfect planet. To live on a fallen planet for eternity would be hell, folks. Amen? God says, I didn't make you to live in a place of imperfection forever. I made you to live in a place of perfection forever. I want you to know, folks, I want you to know me. Choose to be, this is what the Lord is saying. I want you to know me. Choose to be in my family so you can live in that place forever. And one day God is going to shut this earth down because he has prepared a place that's perfect in eternity. And the Bible says all creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and from decay. It says that even the world is looking forward to that day. And third, we have emotional distress and disappointment because of sin, because of our sin. You get stressed out and disappointed because you live in a fallen planet. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but most things don't live up to their hype. Most things are overrated. Isn't it funny there are many young couples who spend so much time working on their wedding? Now, I had this in the works before the wedding yesterday. And they asked this question. Where are we going to put the candles? What kind of candies should we put on the tables? What color are those candies? See, I was talking to them in our counseling session, and I told them this several weeks back. I said, you know, it just blows my mind at all the effort and all the time that we put into these weddings, all the stress that goes with it, and it's over in an hour. And since then, I've heard Ruth say that. All this work, and it's going to be over in an hour. But isn't that true? And they spend so much time in planning the wedding. And then it's over in a couple hours. And I've always thought if they spent that much time in preparing for marriages instead of preparing for the wedding, we'd have stronger marriages and fewer divorces. And some people say we don't have time for premarital counseling. Because we're too busy planning the wedding. And I tell you, the wedding isn't going to last. The marriage is what you want to last. If you would spend as much time on premarital counseling, you'd do far more for your relationship than you would by asking, what color are the candies or the candles? And fourth, the result of living in a fallen world is relational distance and discord. When Adam and Eve sinned, it only alienated them from God. It alienated them from each other. You see, all of us have had to deal with that stuff ever since. All of the marriage problems and family problems in life come down to one word, sin. I want what I want, you want what you want, and then sparks fly. And the bottom line is this, you either grow up or you grow apart. That's it, isn't it? Those are your options. In your marriage, you're either going to grow up and learn to be unselfish and think of the other person, or you're going to grow apart. That's it. Now, people say we're just incompatible folks, is a synonym for immaturity. You can grow up or you can grow away from each other. It's your choice. If you want to be selfish, you're going to have conflicts the rest of your life unless you learn to grow and to give. Now, Adam and Eve had great intimacy together. It was an innocent intimacy. Now, Scripture says they were naked and were unashamed. Now, that doesn't just speak to the physical matters. The text is saying they were so emotionally naked and unashamed. There was no intimacy barriers. You see, they had no bad memories from their exes. They had no bad memories from high school. They had no bad lessons that they had to learn from their parents. You see what I'm saying today? Everything was perfect for Adam and Eve. They understood each other. They had the only perfect relationship that ever existed between a man and a woman because they had no bad history, no sin, no hang-ups. They had perfect bodies made by God. But when they sinned, it ruined the whole thing. It messed up the relationship. The intimacy of understanding each other became fear and hiding and distrust in each other and shame. And the Bible says this, they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they strung fig leaves together to cover themselves. You see, men and women have been covering up ever since, and I'm not talking about clothes. I'm talking about covering up emotionally. We hide from each other emotionally, don't we? We don't want to let anybody get close to us. We don't want them to know us, so we cover up. And I want to ask you, what is your fig leaf today? What is your fig leaf? What are you covering up today? What do you use to keep people from getting close to you? Is it that you wear a mask or play a role or pretend that you're somebody that you're not? Do you hide in secret? See, that's what sin always does in a relationship. And I'm talking any type of relationship. Our relationship as friends, as pastor, as saint of God, whatever it is. Sin will cause you to hide something, to hide emotions. Do you hide in secret today, folks? See, Adam did the very two things that every man and every woman has done since. First is he hid, and second, he blamed. First, Adam hid, and then he blamed. That's what sin always does in a relationship. When you have sin in a relationship, you are afraid of revealing your true self. So you hide, even from your husband or your wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, you hide things. You don't let them in to know your deepest fears. Every relationship in the world has been damaged by sin and the evil that is in this world. The other thing that Adam did was he blamed. He said to God, you know, the reason I'm in this trouble is that woman that you gave me, she caused me to be tempted. And ever since, we have been hiding our own weakness and blaming other people for problems in our lives. Amen? We've been hiding things and blaming other people. It's this fault. It's the reason I do it is because of this. And the reason I do that is because they taught me how to do this. And this was the example that I had. We hide and we blame. We hide and we blame. And the fifth thing is spiritual discontentment and darkness is the result of our sin. Sin leaves a hole in your heart that nothing can fill. It's kind of like a puzzle. When you ever try to put a puzzle together and that piece that looks like it should go in there, and you try, and you even try to press it in there, but it just won't fit. But it sure looks like it will. But let me tell you what that pieces is. And that's a God-shaped hole. That's the only thing that's going to fit in there. And we try to, you know, try it in to be successful in life. And we think that'll make us feel better. We buy this or we buy that. Or we try drugs or we try alcohol or we try sex. And we try all these different things. And nothing seems to fit. And we're always looking, if I could just attain this, or if I could just get this, if I could get this job, or if I could get this relationship, it would make it all better. Or if I could just graduate from school, whatever it might be. We think the next thing that we can, if we can finish this or that, that'll make me happy. But it's never ending. That God-shaped vacuum in your life that nothing else can fill. And we try to fix it. We try to fill it with sex and popularity and hobbies and sports. But it's like putting a square peg in a round hole. It does not fit. Folks, hear me today. You were made for God. You were made for God. In Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created, they that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Listen to this. All things were created by him and for him. You were made by God. And for God. And until you make that connection, folks, you're going to be looking and running and always spiritually discontent. What you need is God. Try to find meaning in music or sex or anything else is not the answer. Although the world is great and there are a lot of good things in the world, we have to be realistic about it and understand that you are made for God. We live in a broken planet that has natural disasters and deformities and physical decay and death, emotional distress and disappointment, distance and discord and relationships and spiritual discontent and darkness. It is no wonder, folks, that there is an epidemic of depression in the world. I would be depressed also if I thought that the end of the story is anything but living for God. But it is not, because there is good news. How can you be happy in a world full of pain and suffering and sorrow and broken relationships and bad memories? How can you be happy in a broken planet? For that matter, how can you get happy on a planet that has all of those problems? Jeremiah has the answer. Jeremiah was a prophet, and he wrote two books in the Bible, folks. And one of them he called the Book of Jeremiah. The other, he wrote another book called the Book of Lamentations, which means sorrow. Amen. Then Lamentations. invitation, he gives his testimony and he says, I cannot find peace or remember happiness. Just thinking of my troubles and my lonely wanderings makes me miserable. Is all I ever think about, and I am depressed. There, here is the good news, folks. I remember something that fills me with hope. The Lord's kindness never fails. If he, God, had not been merciful, he would have been destroyed. The Lord can always be trusted to show mercy each morning. So deep in my heart, I say, Lord, you are all that I need. I can depend on you. Hallelujah. That phrase, Lord, you are all that I need, is an antidote to depression. Amen. It is a key to happiness in a broken, messed up, damaged world, folks. You don't put your trust in people because they are going to let you down. You don't put your trust in circumstances because they are going to disappoint you. You don't put your trust in things because they're not going to last. You put your trust in God and say, Lord, you are all that I need. Come on, love him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God is in control. He is. You see, we see the reason the world is in the mess. It's sin. I've blown it. You've blown it. Adam blew it. And we've all seen the results. But here's the question that I have. Why doesn't God just shut the earth down? Well, when he looks down and he sees genocide and suicide and war and rape and murder and people hating each other and people cheating on each other and people being mean to each other, why doesn't he just pull the plug on the planet? Why does he just keep putting up with it? Well, see, he's got the power to just shut it all down. So why doesn't God just close up shop? Why is he allowing a broken planet to limp for a little bit longer? Why he doesn't shut the world down? Because, folks, although the world is broken, he's still in control. And history is moving toward a climax. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to be separated from him for eternity. So he's giving more time for everyone to repent. And the reason God puts up with all the grief as he sees on this planet is because he is being patient and he is waiting for you to step across the line and come to know him. He wants you in his family. Or if you are in his family, he wants you to witness to your family and to your friends and to your neighbors because he wants them in his family. Come on. And once the door of the ark is shut and it starts to rain, folks, it is not opening up again 15 minutes later because it's over once that door shuts. When God shuts it down, when you die or Jesus comes back, it's over. There's no second chance. So God says, I'm waiting a little longer just so people have the opportunity to receive my grace. My grace. You see, when somebody comes to you and says, I can't believe in worship or in loving a God who would callously stand by and watch little children suffer and women be raped, and you could say, well, I don't believe in that kind of a God either. God isn't that kind of a God. You have no idea how much it hurts God when he sees all the sin that goes on in this earth. And it hurts him more than it hurts anybody else. You see, he weeps and he grieves and he says, look at what my children are doing. They are abusing each other. They are lying to each other. They are cheating each other. They are being evil to each other. They are hurting each other. They are gossiping about each other. God feels sin. He feels every sin. He's grieving. And the only reason that you grieve is because you're made in God's image. You see, God has emotions. He gave you and I emotions. God feels everything much more intentionally than you will ever feel. You see, he's far more worried about women who get raped than you are. See, you don't think about it all the time, but he does. Because he's watching it. He cares about it, and he hates it with a passion. And the only reason he's holding back his fierce judgment on evil is because he's waiting for you and others to step across that line today so that he can pull the plug and say, okay, everybody that's going to be in is in. God already knows who's going to say yes to his invitation. Let's stand here today. He already knows because he knows the future. He's not determining it. You get to choose. But he already knows. He's giving you and me that extra time. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for you. And I know the world is a mess, folks. But I want you to understand today, God is in control. We must respond to God's control of this world. And there are four ways I should respond in the fact that God is in control of this world. Number one is receive God's grace daily. If God is waiting to shut the world down so he can show his grace, then you need to receive his grace on a daily basis. The Bible says through the sin of one man, that's Adam, death began to rule. But now, how much greater is the result of what was done by one other man, Jesus Christ? Everyone who receives God's abundant grace and are freely put right with him will rule in life through Christ. If you have ever received the grace of God, if you have never received the grace of God, you need to receive it. And we need to remember this place is temporary. Hear me. This place that we live is temporary. Folks, don't get too caught up in this fallen world. Don't get caught up in its foolish, in its fashions. Don't get caught up in its values. Don't get too enamored with things of this world because nothing you see in this world is going to last. Everything is going to vanish one day. There are only two things that are going to last for eternity: God's word and God's people. You see, you need to build your life on those things that are going to last, because everything else is temporary. The Bible says that I'm here on earth for just a little while. The Bible says this world is not our home. We're looking forward to our everlasting home in heaven. We're just passing through. And then, folks, we need to reject mundane solutions. You see, because this world is a broken world that has sin and evil in it. You have many unmet needs. This is not a perfect place. So all your needs will not be met while you're on this earth. You may be here with unmet sexual needs. You may have unmet personal needs. You may have unmet relational needs. You have a need to be understood. You have a need to be loved. You have a need to be met so you won't be lonely. You have financial needs that are unmet. All of these different needs are in your life because we live in a planet that is not perfect. But folks, because sin and evil exist. So what you don't want to do is give in to temptation of figuring out how to meet your needs in your life. Why? Rather than trusting in God. If you try to figure it all out yourself, instead of trusting in God, that would be a very big mistake. And God says to reach out and testify of His love. Once you know the meaning of life, and we know that living for God is the meaning of life, God wants you to tell others. He wants you to tell others, hey, I found something that will satisfy. You need to teach others of what God has given you. You need to explain it to your friends and to your family because they're living without hope. The Bible says this, go out into the world uncorrupted like a breath of fresh air in this polluted society and provide people with a glimpse of God living with a living God. God wants you to pass it to others. If you're in a family, if you're in the family of God, God's saying, tell others. God wants them in His family also. God wants your family members who aren't saved here today, He wants them in this family. The friends that you have, God wants them in this family. Those people that you're going to meet tomorrow at work, God wants them in this family. Folks, we are blessed to be a part of the family of God. And there are others that need you to tell them. If you're here today and you just want to get closer to God and say, God, help me to understand this better. God, I thank you for the opportunity that I've had to live for you, but I want to draw closer to you. I want to understand this even more. And God, help me to understand that I live in a broken world, and I, God, am part of that light.